Nice kit, mate. High five. Good man. You're too old for going there.
Don't start without me.
Okay, fair enough, I won't. The Holy Spirit will wait. We'll wait now. I'll pray. I love this church, you know what I mean? So, okay, let's pray. Father God Almighty, thank you so much, Lord Jesus, for all you've done and said this morning already. Thank you, Lord, that we know that your presence is here with us because we're here and your presence is in each of us. Lord Jesus, we never want to be running with or going with, which is what looking today, Lord, anything that's not coming from you. So we just pray, Father God, that anything comes out of my mouth, as I talk now, Lord God, that anything that's not coming from you will be instantly forgotten, and only the things that are coming from your Holy Spirit will be what we remember, what we take to heart, and what we let change us forever. And I ask this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Okay. Oh man, so God has done a big number on me this week. Wow. I know I say that a lot, but he really has. And I have to be careful because God kind of goes bump with something, and I kind of have a tendency to just go wah straight away. So God's training me to harness stuff sometimes, and it's a bit like, you know, in the movies where you get the two armies, and one army's this end and the other army's that end, like Braveheart or something like that. And the enemy's coming charging towards the good guys, and the king of the good guys is sort of trotting up and down on his horse along by the men, you know, giving them words of wisdom and stuff. And he's set out a plan, and he's told them not to move until he tells them to. And the enemy's coming flying towards him, and you're watching it, you know, wherever it is, and you're thinking, do something. They're getting too close, and they're getting closer and closer. And you can even see the men and the good men and the good army are kind of looking at each other, sort of backing away slightly. And the king or the whatever is always going, hold, hold. And you think, let them do something, they're going to die. And then at the last minute, just as the enemy's just about to get on top of them, you'll know about this in right training, Hayden, now, won't you? Just as the enemy's just about to get on top of them, you know, the king will shout, no! And then they stand up and then they do what he's told them to do, and then it all turns out okay and everybody can relax. Well, God's trying to train me to do that, okay? God's trying to train me to say, hold! Keep hold of it until but I really felt, he laid something on my heart this week that I just felt was certainly for this Sunday. And I was minding my own business watching TV, actually, on Tuesday night. And I'd already had what I planned to say today, the framework of it was all together and ready to go. And I read something and God just touched my heart with this. And I was thinking, really? Really, God? It's the first Sunday in September. Can't I just have like a fluffy, you know, thought for the day to send everybody into September? And God was like, no, bring this. So here we are. So I wrote it down on my phone and went to the scriptures. And you guys need to weigh it up. Everything, not just that I say from the front here, anything that anybody says from the front in any fellowship, you know, is for encouragement. Whatever God is saying, it's always for encouragement. I believe it's not just for this fellowship. I believe this is a message for the church in general, because we all serve the same Jesus. But God always moves differently in each of us, doesn't he, in whatever we're hearing. So if ever you hear anything from the front of anywhere and it makes you feel angry about what it is, then you need to be asking God why it is you're feeling angry. If it makes you feel convicted, we need to be going to God and say, why do I feel convicted? If it's encouraging you in some way, then God, what is it that you're speaking to me? So you guys have got to weigh all this up. So what is God saying? So there's two ways of walking in this life. And by walking, I mean living it out. Just the two ways. There's only two. And you can't do both. You can't mix both of these ways and see the blessing from Almighty God. A house divided against itself, what? Cannot stand. A house divided against itself cannot stand. So we've got the world's way of walking, and we've got God's way of walking. So we can either walk in the flesh, which is our own human sinful nature, which is the way that anybody who doesn't belong to Jesus Christ walks, which can only be disobedient to God, can't be anything else. And all the desires that come from that come from self, come from our own selfish desires. And then we've got walking in the Spirit. So that, you know, today we're looking at not just worshiping in Spirit and truth, but we're looking at walking our lives out in Spirit and truth. And that's walking fully in, fully committed, and walking in the nature of Jesus Christ, which is to be like Jesus, which can only be obedient to God. Walking in the Spirit can only be obedient to God. And all of the desires that come from the Spirit, all of the desires that come from the place that Jesus is in our life, can only be obedient to God. And God points out very clearly in Galatians 5 what it looks like when people either are walking in the flesh or walking in the worldly ways, or people who are walking in the Spirit and are walking in the ways of Jesus. And they're very, very clear, and you'll have seen these scriptures many times before. Galatians chapter 5, God says this: "So I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh." You know, the Word of God says that really, as believers, whenever we start feeling the desires of our human nature that are disobedient to God, if we surrender those whatever those are, those thoughts, those feelings, those actions, to the Holy Spirit, those human desires have to surrender to the Holy Spirit. Did you know that? Did you know that? The Holy Spirit, the power of the Holy Spirit, will overcome these things if we are willing to surrender them to God and not just walk in them, but to surrender them straight away when we know we're being led down a certain path. We surrender it to God, surrender it to the power of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit makes whatever's going on in us surrender to Him if we allow Him to do what He wants to do in us. It says, "For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh." So that's the Spirit of God in us is contrary to our own human nature. They're in conflict with each other, so that you are not to do whatever you want. We can't just walk around doing whatever we want as followers of Jesus Christ. But if you're led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. And then he points out what these things look like when we're walking in these ways. And he says, the acts of the flesh are obvious. Sexual immorality. And that, by the way, before we start just blaming that on one group of people, and we say that sexual immorality is people in same-sex relationships or anything like that, we're talking about sexual immorality, the broad spectrum of same-sex relationships, of adultery, of pornography, of fornication, and all these things, that these old-fashioned seeming words that nobody talks about in church anymore, sex before marriage and those kinds of things. Impurity, debauchery, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage. Excuse my water container. I got one to match me tan. Sorry to interrupt the Word of God with that. Idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. So anybody who totally surrenders themselves to these things, and they are the way they walk, that's the way they walk their lives, they cannot be a follower of Jesus Christ if they've completely surrendered over to this way of life. Does that make sense? We're not talking about the temptations that we have in these things. We're talking about people who hand themselves over to these things. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, which I think means patience as well. Is that right? Forbearance, patience, yeah. Kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and its desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. And that's the main core of this message today, about keeping in step with the Holy Spirit, being fully in for God, fully in for Jesus, not half and half. Not half living in the flesh, half living in the Spirit. I mean, deciding that we want to walk in the Spirit when we want to, and the rest of the time we're quite happy to live however it is that we want. By choice. This is making a choice to walk in ways that are against what God wants for us. Because I believe that Jesus Christ in these days is shaking the church. And by church, I mean everybody that is a, I'm not talking about certain denominations, I'm talking about anybody that claims to be a follower of Jesus Christ and puts themselves under the bracket of being the church. I believe God in these days is beginning to shake his church, and I believe that he is sifting out and he is separating and he is looking for the faithful and he is looking for the committed in these days, right in these specific days that we're in. And it's not going to be a church that the world likes. It's not going to be a church that the church thinks is amazing, because the two things conflict. It's going to be a church that God loves. It's going to be the church that God is looking for. So here's what is on my heart. You know, they used to say, didn't they, that I think it's speeded up dramatically now in the days we're in now. They used to say that whenever America took on a trend or a fashion or whatever it was, that normally they used to say 10 years later it would be in England, didn't they? That used to be the old-fashioned saying. I believe it's much faster now because of the way the world works. But what we see right now is the thought processes and the culture and all of these things and the thought ideals that the world is taking on, we are now seeing them coming rapidly into the church. They're now coming rapidly into the church. And it makes me feel sick. It does. It makes me feel sick in my spirit. Very passionate about these things. It unsettles me. I find it hard to settle because I see these things. I see it on the internet all the time. I see it on all kinds of stuff. Let's read some scripture about what in spirit and in truth means. Totally being in for Jesus. Totally seeking him. Not seeking the world. Wanting Jesus' desires for our lives, not our own. This is big stuff. It really is. And please remember, this is all for about encouragement. This is God, Jesus, going to us. Come on. He's not going, although if he is doing that, listen to him. But if he's going, he normally means, come on, at the same time, doesn't he? John chapter 4, 23. Oh, sorry, you're ahead of me. Are you doing this? I'll let you do it. No, because I'll keep on racing ahead. So when I say, now, you change the slide. Okay, sorry. Did that wake you up? Sorry. But the hour is coming. And now is when the true worshippers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. But the hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshippers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. I know these words were written a long time ago, but these are a prophetic, living and moving and active word. And I think they are for right now. The hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshippers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father is seeking such to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. There's a verse about, next one please, Cara. A verse about treating Jesus with holy reverence. Treating God with holy reverence, that he's not just our mate when we feel like it. Hebrews 12, verse 28. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us have grace by which we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. God can't be mocked with lip service, and God can't be mocked with us playing at church. Matthew 15, verse 8 to 10. These people draw near to me with their mouth, and they honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me, and in vain they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men. That means teaching us that men are just changing the word of God and imposing their own wisdom and their own agendas on God's word. You know, a picture of honoring our God with our lips and not with our hearts is like a picture of if we were standing here this morning and we have our hands in the air and we're singing out these worship songs. If we're just giving him lip service and we're not doing it from the heart, he sees our hands in the air and he sees our lips moving, but the rest of it's silent. The rest of it's silent because it's not coming from the right place. Next slide, please, Cara. I believe that the time of the church, and again, I'm talking about the whole fellowship, those who believe in Jesus Christ, making our relationship with Jesus just about church. We've made church the big thing. I'm not saying we. Church has become the big thing and Jesus has become the small thing. So the relationship with Jesus Christ means going to church once a week or maybe once every other week. And that's what we see as our relationship with God is, where believers who are just out for self-encouragement just want their needs to be met, just their own selfish needs to be met whenever they feel like it. I believe that the time of that happening without God challenging it is over. I believe it's over. Because I believe God is doing something big and he's doing something powerful in the times we're in, because of the times we're in. And he's refining his church. And he's looking for the true believers in his church. And he's shaking and he's sifting and he's calling out. I believe Jesus is shaking the tree. And you know what? If Jesus needs to shake this tree, I say hallelujah. Please do it, Lord. If Jesus needs to shake the maintenance tree, and I'm sure he does in many different ways, do it, Lord. Hallelujah, do it, Lord. We want to be in line with you. Jesus is looking for the people that are called the bride of Christ. The people that he calls the bride of Christ, who are looking for him. The ones that are looking for him, looking to him, searching deep for him, you know, all in for him, all in for Jesus, not messing about, worshipping with the heart and not worshipping with just the mouth. And I believe, because I'm seeing it happen, you might not agree with this, that's fair enough, but I believe that groups of people who treat church just for self-improvement, people who just want their best life now. That's what you see everywhere, isn't it? Books. Have your best life now in a relationship with God. People who are just seeking that stuff and just seeking their own needs, they are now starting to get bored and tired with sound teaching that challenges them and speaks truth. God's unsettling them. And they're getting bored with preachers who are speaking the truth. And they are beginning to leave, or God is beginning to take people out to put them to be grouped together with leaders that they're going to deserve. And those leaders are going to be people who are more than willing to give them what they want and give them what they need and give them sound bites and little thought for the days, just so that they can have what they want, which is a bigger church with more people in it once a week, whatever it is. So they're all going to get it together. The people just want their own selfish needs met. The leaders of those churches just want their own selfish needs met, and God's going to put them together. They are the ones, sadly and heartbreakingly, that I believe, and you can already see happening, they are the ones who are embracing the world's ways at a rapid speed. They're the ones that are embracing the world's methods. And I believe that's the start of the big apostasy that is predicted to come, and the prophecy that is to come in the last days. Because it's a new type of Jesus. Are you all okay so far? It's a new type of Jesus. It's a new type of Christianity that isn't Christianity. It's not the Christianity that Jesus left us with. It's a trendy Christianity. And it is love, 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 and all inclusive and all accepting, but with no biblical substance, and it's ill. That part of the church is ill. And by the way, God is always saying, I love you, please repent and come back to the way it's supposed to be. God is saying that to all believers. You know, we look out and we see it now, it's a church that thinks it's cool and trendy, so they'll be accepted. To vocally be okay with things like same-sex marriage, to vocally be okay with things like abortion, to vocally be okay with these kinds of things. That it's cool and it's more loving to never mention or to never challenge sin, to never even talk about sin anymore. So the people won't leave. They want them to stay. So they don't want to challenge him, because then they'll leave and they'll go somewhere else. It's the opposite of the Bible. It's the opposite of what the Bible says about what the bride of Christ should be. But that doesn't matter to them, because they're changing the Bible. Because God's word is being rewritten by them so that they can entertain and so that they can be popular. The word of God Almighty is no longer the word of God Almighty. It's a guideline of sound bites to adjust to a fit society's needs and society's wants and choices. That ain't my kind of church. And I tell you why it ain't my kind of church. Because it isn't the church. It isn't the bride of Christ. But it's popular, and it's getting more popular, and it's growing. And we should have nothing to do with it. And we should encourage others to have nothing to do with it. And what happens then, as a little side note, is that when you have these big, massive, successful, I'm not naming names today. God's challenged me that on that in the past, because we all, by the grace of God. But what I have seen happening, and lots of others, pastors have seen happening, because we talk about it, is that whatever they're doing bleeds into their worship. So then we have worship songs that are going all over the world into all these fellowships that sound great, amazing music, amazing melody, amazing singers with no biblical substance, but it's popular, so the churches are singing them. And nobody's checking them. And people are singing stuff that isn't even biblical. But praise God, we're going to come back up now. Praise God. Then there are those believers, then there are those fellowships that want to actually obey Jesus Christ, that are searching for Jesus Christ, the ones that want to obey Jesus' call to go deeper and to start to really live and walk in and by the power of the Holy Spirit that God has put in his people, so that we can be transformed into the real Jesus, so that we can go out and see other people transformed into the real Jesus. To always be growing, but to see the kingdom of God grow with salvation through repentance. Salvation through repentance. Not just Jesus loves you, Jesus loves you, Jesus loves you, but salvation through repentance. A true want to change, a heart that's got to change, a life that's got to change, because the life they're living isn't in line or in obedience with Jesus Christ. So they need to come into it through repentance and turning away and turning round. To live by the word of God with no compromise. Fellowships that are living by the word of God with no compromise. To love people the right way always. Well, I believe those believers, those kind of people who are searching Jesus that way, they are being grouped together with leaders who want what they want, which is what God wants, probably in much smaller churches, but much more huge in the outpouring of the power of the Holy Spirit. In those fellowships, much smaller, bigger in power, because they're being obedient to Jesus Christ and they're being obedient to the gospel. Those kinds of churches, those kinds of fellowships, they're the ones that are going to see people get saved into the real Jesus with a real gospel. Can I have an amen? Amen. Are you all okay? But you know what? Those churches, and here's the little disclaimer on the bottom, those churches are the ones that are going to be the ones that are the most disliked. They're the ones that are going to be ridiculed. They're the churches that are going to be in the minority. It's already happening, and it's going to happen bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. They're the ones that are going to face the most trouble in this sick and twisted world where good is seen as being evil and evil is seen as being good. Which Jesus told us was going to happen. The things that are evil are going to be proclaimed as being good. But you know what? Those fellowships will stand strong, because they will see the blessing and the anointing and the favor of Almighty God. They will have the anointing and blessing of Almighty God to do their Father's business on this earth. They're the churches that God will trust with his gospel. They're the ones he'll send people to, and he'll send them out. And again, you know, God is always saying to groups of believers that are heading way away from the word of God and heading way away from the real Jesus, you know, to repent and turn around. But what we're seeing happening is God is going to let those other churches have what they want. He's going to let those leaders have what they want. He's going to let the people who are searching that stuff have what they want. He's going to let them have the popularity. He's going to let them have their acceptance in society. But it means nothing to God. And here's the heartbreaking thing. They are the ones, they are the part of the bride, I believe, that are going to capitulate to the Antichrist when he comes upon this earth and he sets up his one world global system and religion. Why are they the ones who are going to capitulate to it and go with it? Because they already are. because they're being softened into it. They've been sideswiped. What is it Paul says? Who cut in on you? Who cut in on the race? And they're not following the word of God anymore, so they're not spotting the problem. Before they know it, they're susceptible and open to all things. So if we want to see more people get saved in this place, through this church, we need to be the church that is walking in spirit and in truth. And we need to be the church that is all out for Jesus from now. From now. We need to set the stall out now. We need to lay the foundation right now of who we are, of what kind of church fellowship we are, but also what kind of believers we are individually. We need to set out the blueprint that tells everybody that comes in contact with us, this is who we are and this is where we stand. And I'll tell you why it's important, because when new people come in here, and I know there's new guests in here today, you're very welcome, but when new people come in here or people get saved and they start coming here, they know from the very start what they're getting into in this place. That they know that we stand on the word of God, that we love them, we love everybody, we stand on the word of God, and we're all out for Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. So the opposite of what happens is they ain't going to be shocked when somewhere down the line, in a place where they've been given love, 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 all inclusivity with no biblical direction, that they're not going to realize, and they're going to turn around, that nobody's told them about sin. Nobody's challenged them about sin. Nobody's challenged them and told them about repentance. Nobody's told them about a holy, reverent fear of Almighty God and how they're supposed to live. Nobody's told them about a reverence for the Word of God, which is the Almighty Word of God. So that they turn around to people and they're saying, why didn't you tell us the truth? When I first got saved and I came into this place, why didn't you tell me the truth? Why didn't you challenge my lifestyle? Why didn't you show me the importance of holiness before a holy God? Why didn't you tell me about walking in spirit, in truth? Instead, to be a body of believers that people will say, do you know what? That Maitland fellowship, that Maitland place, at the top of the hill, or wherever it is that they're coming from. Yes, it's a lovely, friendly church. Yes, it's a church that loves Almighty God. Yes, it's a church that loves other, but they ain't messing about. They're not messing about with being believers. They're not playing church. It's a real church. Where people can open their Bibles and go, that's them. Perfect? No, never. But that's them. That's what they look like. That they worship Jesus in spirit and in truth. That they preach the whole Word of God. Not just the New Testament. And leave out the old bits that are too hard. Like Revelation and things like that. They teach the whole of the Old Testament. Because it's all the Word of God. They teach the whole counsel of God. Fearlessly, with no compromise. Absolute love. Absolute, fearless, no compromise to the Word of God. So people will go, would you know this church that is all out for Jesus, and this church that the Word of God with no compromise and all the rest of it, this Maitland church, are gay people welcome there? Are addicts welcome there? Are people whose lives are all over the place and really far away, are they welcome there? That people will say, yeah, too right, they're welcome there. But the people there love them so much that they want to see their lives changed and rearranged by the power of Jesus Christ so that they can follow Jesus and leave those lives behind. And be changed forever by the power of Jesus Christ. Welcome, love, preach the Word of God. That this church doesn't encourage people to live offensively to God just so we can get their tithe. That we call things out in love and each other. Why? Because there before the grace of God go we. And we all need Jesus' grace and his forgiveness. But we call things out in love in each other. Like you should be in me and Russ and Dave and us in you. That they love worshipping Almighty God in spirit and truth, not messing about with church, not just going because church is Sunday, but every day. That these people who belong to that fellowship, I can't say that word, I'm going to stop trying to say it. Every day, these people are that sold out for Jesus Christ that he pours out of them. Everywhere they go, he pours out of them. Look at their faces. The faces are glowing with him. It looks like Jesus is on them because he is. You know what? I hope we are walking together for a long time. I really do. See, but if you guys sack me tomorrow, which after today might be possible, if you guys sack me tomorrow, that church that worships in spirit and truth, that's a church I'm going to find to fellowship in. That's the church that I would be looking for. That's how much I believe in it, how passionate I am about it. I'd be going out there to try and find a church that's walking in spirit and is walking in truth. And you know what? As times go on, those places are going to be hard to find. They are. Genuinely. So we're a body and a movement of people that meet to love God, to love each other, stay rooted in the Word of God, and pray together. Now it's vital for me as a church, this is a little side note, that we meet and pray, because God tells us to, whatever form that takes. And actually, me, Russ and Dave at the moment are seeking God in the best way that we can do that as a fellowship. And however God wants this church to be a house of prayer, because he wants it to be a house of prayer, but it's quite obvious, and I don't mean this sarcastically and in any dark way, but it's quite obvious that Wednesday nights ain't working. Wednesday nights aren't working in this particular fellowship, whether that's because people are busy, with lives busy, whatever it is, but Wednesday nights ain't working. We only have a very short number, so we're trying to find ways, and we're praying into ways that as Maitland can be a house of prayer where people are going to engage and pray together, whatever way that is. So we need your prayer on that. But our whole walk in this place is about putting our money where our mouth is. Genuinely want to see a move of God that is a constant flow of salvations in here and out there. Walking in spirit and truth is aiming for nothing less than all of our heart and all of our passion. And you might be sitting there thinking, well, is that actually doable? Is it doable to walk and follow Jesus with all of our heart and all of our passion? Can I do that and still have a great life? Can I still enjoy my life and do that? The Word of God tells us that that's the greatest life. It is hard to do. I'm preaching it from the front here, I know, but it's just as hard for me as it is for anybody else. But the Word of God tells us, look, at the end of the day, whatever we preach from the front, we can't go half measures. We've got to preach the full Word of God. And the Word of God says we've got to do this fully. But it is doable. Otherwise, God wouldn't put it in there. It's the greatest life. You know, I mentioned the other week that I don't go out looking for seeds planted in people. Seeds planted in people for me is a byproduct, which is a huge bonus. When I go out and I speak to people, I'm looking for them to come to know Jesus Christ at the end of that conversation. And I'll tell you why I'm saying that. Because Satan wants me to aim low. Satan wants you to aim low, and he wants you to walk about an expected disappointment. So he lays on our hearts, people aren't going to get saved at the end of this conversation. People aren't going to get healed when you put your hands on them and pray with them. So there's no need to really bother. Have a quick chat, plant a seed, pray with them with absolutely no expectation that healing's going to happen, that no one's disappointed and no one gets disillusioned. And I can go and get my huge cotton wool blankets of Christianity and stick it round me. Jesus didn't go to the Father for me to be filled with his spirit and his power for me to walk in that way. And he didn't do that for you either. He got nailed to a tree, died on a cross, rose again, went to be with the Father, so that through faith in him, I would get filled with his power so I can walk in his power and his truth. So I ain't aiming low. I'm aiming to see people get saved. I'm going to cut bits of this out. I might have you here till Tuesday. But this is the main heart of the message today. That's the battle cry. I'm not the manager of this football team. God is. I'm a temporary captain of some kind. And God goes, tell that to the team. And now we're in the dressing room. So I'm giving you the battle cry before we go out onto the football pitch or the battle ground or the boxing ring, whichever illustration you want to use. As we walk into one of the biggest months we've had in this church for a long time and onwards into where we're going, because we've started to wake up, Maitland. This church has started to wake up, and look how many people are getting saved. 20 people getting baptized next week. Who can remember the last time that happened? And that's not a criticism of anything else that's gone in the past. I'm just saying that something is happening and God is waking up, and he says, this is the tip of the iceberg. And it's not blowing Maitland's trumpet, we're not special. I truly believe with all of my heart, and I would go and stand in any church, in any part of this world, and I would say the same thing, that any group of believers who walks in spirit and in truth, who moves in the power of the Holy Spirit, who walks in the word of God, will see the lost get saved. Will. It's the blueprint of the church of Almighty God. But it depends what we want. It's the sucker punch. It depends what we want. It depends what you want as individuals. If all we want is Sunday, we've made church Sunday. And then Monday to Saturday, we don't give Jesus a second thought. If that's all we want, if all we want is our personal needs met in the church that we go to, and then maybe we might moan when they aren't, whichever way that is. If we're only half in and half out, we're in just enough to be saved, but not enough in to walk in the power of the Holy Spirit. If we're walking half in flesh and half in spirit, if we're 80% Love Island and 20% the Word of God, you can replace Love Island with whichever you want. I don't know where that one came from, to be honest. But if we're 80% this and 20% God, if all we want is for other people to commit, other people to pray, and then we'll ride in on the tailcoats of revival when it comes, then we can expect nothing. I'm not saying this is what we're doing, but we can expect nothing. And you know what? This church isn't about that. This fellowship isn't about that. I don't believe it's about that. Because we need to decide who we are corporately as a group of fellowship together, and who we are individually. Not just, oh, that church has got a passionate pastor, or that church has got a group of passionate believers, but the people would look at a fellowship and go, wow, that church is on it. Everybody's passionate. In fact, the pastor's the least passionate in the whole place. A passionate church for Jesus Christ is a church that's filled with joy and the presence of the Holy Spirit. So this is where we're headed. That's what we're saying. This is, you know, that we're saying to our society, that we're saying to the world, this is where we're heading as a fellowship. You know, it's too late for me now. I'd love to be able to tell you that I'm going to relax on this stuff. It's too late for me now. I can't go backwards. My heart's full of this stuff. It's not going to fizzle away. I'd rather self-combust, which nearly happens sometimes, or die of exhaustion first. Because my desire, by the way, God doesn't want that for my life. I just don't want to speak that over myself. That's an ungodly thing, to die of exhaustion just by work. Because I believe it's God's desire for this church to be full in for him. And do you know what? It's so exciting. It's so exciting. Do you believe it can be exciting?
Yes.
Are you okay? I'm seeking self-approval. No, I'm not. It's so exciting to see what we can do for Jesus Christ. It really is. It really, really is. We'd never want to go backwards again. So I'm going to read John 4 again. Says, but the hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshippers, will worship the Father in spirit and in truth, fully in for Jesus, fully want what God wants, fully want his desires, fully want to draw close to him and to worship him and to be like Jesus Christ, because the Father is seeking such people to worship him. Why is he seeking them to worship him? What do you think he's going to do with those people? Give me something. What's God going to do with the Ross answer? What's God going to do with these people?
Send them out.
Okay. A quick side note as I come to a close now is, you know, maybe there's things we've got to let go of to hold us back. Jesus is challenging me all the time with things I need to let go of. I'm on my knees most week saying, Father, fill me with the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Give me it all. I want it all for the right reasons. Give me it all. And Jesus like challenged me just last week and said, can you make a bit of room for them? Make a bit of room. And he showed me something in my own life which I've got to push out the way. It's not to say that Jesus is going to give me whatever I ask for, but he's telling me to make room. Because really, when we think about it, the Bible says that once we've tasted and seen that the Lord is good, we shouldn't really desire anything else. We should be obsessed with Jesus Christ. We should be craving Jesus, craving his word, craving to be continually filled with the Holy Spirit, as Paul says, continually filled to overflowing. That kind of church God will use. That kind of church might even spark a revival through the power of God. Isla Lewis revival, Quinbran revival, Pentecost revival. Groups of people, fellowship, sold out for Jesus Christ. Sold out for wanting to see souls saved. Sold out for the word of God. Okay. Just before I close, we have got a huge, huge month ahead. So like I say, we've got the baptisms next week in the morning and the evening. And then we've got the outreach event, which is at the end of the month. Guys, please get involved in this outreach. Please invite people. Friday, Saturday, Sunday night, we've got 3 nights to choose from. I know people might say no anyway. But try and bring people. You know, come, bring people. You know, it's a massive thing. We've never done anything like that in this church before. But myself and Nico and his team really believe that God's going to move powerfully. We believe it's a start of something, that we'll have many outreach events. We want to see people get saved. I want to see people get saved in large numbers. So please pray. We've got a prayer meeting this Wednesday at 7:30. In this church, and it's Nico and his team are coming as well. We're going to have a time of worship. Nico's going to speak about the outreach, and then we're going to go into a prayer time. Please try and come to that prayer meeting. It's going to be an important one to be at. And if you can't make it, please be praying from where you are. Okay, we're going to take a moment of quiet. If you'd like to bow your heads, close your eyes. If you want to, you know, all the things you've spoken about there, about things you might need to push to one side, you know, wanting to really commit ourselves to Jesus in spirit and in truth, you may want to take the time to do that now and reflect on what God may have said to your heart. But if you're in this place today and you do not know Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior, if you do not know Jesus in the way that I've been speaking this morning and the way that we've been singing, you can know him today. You can leave this room belonging to the kingdom of God. You can leave this room belonging to Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ died for your sin. Right now you're separated from God. He loves you, but you're separated from him. Jesus died on the cross so that separation could be removed, so that all your sins can be forgiven, that you can receive Jesus in your life as your Lord and your Savior, that he can change your life. He can give you truly what your life was meant to be from this day on. And ultimately, when this life is over, that you will belong to the kingdom of heaven. Because if you don't know Jesus today and you die today, your destination is hell. But that can change in this place at this time by receiving Jesus Christ. Not through what I've said, not through what anybody else has said, but because God has touched you. And I'd just like to ask, while all the heads are bowed and the eyes are closed, if you'd like to ask Jesus into your life, we can do it privately. Would you just raise your hand in the air so I can see? Amen. Praise you, Jesus. Can everybody else just keep your eyes closed, please, and your head bowed? we can do that privately, or if you'd like to come out and I'll pray with you now, would you prefer to do it privately? The guy who had his hand up, would you prefer to do it privately in a minute? Want to do it now, here? Do you want to come out and we'll pray with you? Come on. What's your name, mate?
Barry.
Barry. We're not doing this for effect, Barry. It's not because it's making a show. It's just it. Man, you getting up out your seat, walks to the front, so powerful. It makes me want to cry. Whoo! Can you pray for me? Okay, Barry, so I take it you don't know Jesus now?
No. Nope.
Okay. And do you want to receive him into your life right
now?
Okay. I'm going to pray a prayer now. And every time I stop, you repeat what I say. And then when we get to the end of the prayer, I'll pray for you. So you're going to ask for forgiveness for not knowing Jesus for all these years. And you're going to ask him into your life and give the rest of your life to him. And I'll talk with you later more about what that means, okay? Okay, let's pray. Guys, please put your hands up as well. Lord Jesus.
Lord Jesus.
I have heard today that you are the truth.
I have heard today that you are the truth.
That you are real.
That you are real.
That you love me.
That you love me.
That you died on a cross for me.
That you died on a cross for me.
That you rose again.
That you rose again.
That you will return.
That you will return.
And I am sorry for every sin I've ever committed.
I am sorry for every sin I have committed.
And I ask for your forgiveness.
And I ask for your forgiveness.
And Lord Jesus, I give my heart to you.
And Lord Jesus, I give my heart to
I
you.
I give my life to you.
I give my life to you.
That you would come in.
That you would come in.
And change me.
And change me.
And I ask all these things.
And I ask all these things.
In your powerful name.
In your powerful name.
Amen.
Amen.
I'm just going to pray with you later, okay? Father God, Lord Jesus, I want to thank you for bringing Barry into this place this morning, Lord. And I believe that your Holy Spirit has just opened this man's heart. And I thank you, Jesus, for who you are. And Lord, I just pray your blessing upon him now, your protection upon him. I pray you fill him right now with the power of your Holy Spirit. Lord Jesus, that you are starting the journey, the long journey of the rest of his life and his eternal life, knowing you as his Lord and Savior. And we welcome him, Father God. We welcome him right now into the kingdom of God. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Amen.
Bless you, mate. I've got to welcome you in a minute. Praise God. We can't not have a worship song now. Let's finish with worship and then we're going to have tea and coffee and stuff. Amen.